Let's pray together. Our Father, as we approach you in the name of Christ, it's our petition as a united body, as your church, his church that was purchased by his blood, that you would give us in this day of the coronavirus the help and the power of your Spirit to preach the gospel so that your elect can be saved and your kingdom would come in power. Help us to take advantage of this situation, but without you, without your Spirit, it'll just be words spoken. It'll have no power. And the people will harden themselves and will perish in some other way. They'll find a new toy to play with. So help us, Father, to speak unto men in this day. You have opened the door. Now speak unto us and speak through us by your Holy Spirit. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, Father, help us to put our eyes on him and to rely upon him alone and forever. For Jesus Christ's sake, we pray with thanksgiving, Father. Our hope is in you. Amen. As I had my walk this morning, it was about 5:30. I have a nice 45-minute walk. The thing that was on my heart, and I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, is the need of power. It's the request of power, as you heard in the prayer. And I don't normally pray, but I don't normally pray on camera, but I am feeling pushed, and it's been on the last few days, to pray on camera. I heard from a couple of people today about prayer. I have seen some things online that me and you, we need the power of God to come and to take advantage of this time. I saw this video. One of the sisters, she sent me a video of a Nigerian person. It was a woman who's upset with the false religion. Her pastor at her church, just the typical prosperity preaching church here in Nigeria, in the midst of this coronavirus, when a extremely large percentage of the population is really living hand to mouth. And so every day they go work in order to have enough to eat. And so right now our quarantine, at least in Lagos, is pretty strict. On my walk this morning, it was barren outside and it was dark. I'm so used to having a little bit of light, you know, by, you know, 5:30 or 6, but I don't know if the moon is is out of business or what. It was dark, and these people are under quarantine and they don't have money and they may not have food, and they're under a lot of stress now. And so she went to it was either online or it was a meeting of some sorts. But the first thing that the pastor did is to encourage them to pay their tithes and offerings and to make sure that he got paid. And you can see her anger as she made his video. And my friend responded that people are fed up, that their eyes are being opened unto these just hucksters, these frauds, these absolute and utter, they are pure charlatans. But I'm thinking that without the power of the Holy Spirit, these people are going to become irreligious, it's just, it isn't, it's going to take more than a person actually seeing he's a money grubber to even leave that church. Is that church will make some changes and it'll still send people to hell. And I was thinking about the Spanish flu that was, you know, 1918, almost 100 years ago. It killed in between 200 and 500 million people. But how many people turned to God because of it? I don't know. I don't know. But I know that in the history of the U.S., after that time, the religion and the gospel, it was not pure. Not by and large. It was still the preaching of the human will. And so what's happened now is that men say that they can command God and decree, and that, you know, if you speak it, you can make it happen. Well, the coronavirus has just slapped everyone in the mouth who has been saying that. That's right. As we've been telling people, it's all fake. It's all a lie. I'm in this country that has some beauty to it, but it's a lot of poverty, and it has the most false prophets in the world prophesying more money. All you got to do is speak it and you pay your tithe. And as I've said, if paying a tithe is the key to wealth, then Africa and Nigeria would be the richest country in the world. But it's a lie of the hucksters. But our problem is that we still need God's power unto come and to tell people the truth. And so let me also speak this out with some plainness and some anger. If our ministry is not anything but talking about how bad everybody else is, if it isn't anything but pointing a finger at everybody else, it is not the power of God. And there's no holiness in your life in secret. Because to be able to pray in private and to be able to see the glory of God, it makes a person come out from that encounter preaching Christ. And if we're not preaching Christ in hope, in peace, in love, in joy, it's because our eyes aren't on Christ. And if our eyes aren't on Christ, sooner or later, me and you are going to find out that the devil has been playing us and we don't have power over our sin. And the Almighty God is going to embarrass us in our falls and in our unrighteousness. And I hope these words hurt in a way to bring some people into repentance. We have got to preach this gospel in power. Thanks for tuning in, Brother Larry. But we got to speak in the power of the Spirit. And that's my text here. It's from Matthew chapter 12. And I want to start it. Verse number 22, and I really want to work down to verse number 28 on the kingdom of God has come to you. The kingdom of God has come to you. And what does it mean for it to come with power? It has some signs. It has some evidence. It has some feeling. It has some impact. It has some change. And that's what mean you need to pray for and to live for. The power of God. The actual finger of God. It's like he wrote in those 10 commandments on tables of stone. That's the power of God. He gives a new heart. And he gives power over sin. But starting in Matthew 12, verse number 22, the scripture says this: then a demon-possessed man. Now, this is a real miracle. It isn't fake. This man was blind and unable to speak. So his eyes are dead. I mean, isn't some type of a charlatan? And the Lord Jesus Christ, He worked miracles that were real. Because His power was real. And there's nobody that can do that today, because nobody has a new, fresh word from God. All me and you have now is the scriptures and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we must stop trying to find these outward signs and wonders which are lying, and get to the true message of the gospel. I can open the blind eye by preaching the truth in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you can see God for yourself in the scriptures and understand and be clothed and in your right mind. That's the finger of God now. But this man, our Lord Jesus Christ, he had power. And this blind man that was unable to speak was brought to him, and he healed him. It was instantaneous. It was a miraculous. It was not anything fake. It was not, I got a feeling that something gonna happen to somebody. And then the next week, the pastor brings up this person that actually got a 5% raise at her job, or she closed a deal, or she had some pain in her neck and it's all over. And he uses that to put himself up as a big shot. That's deception. What our Lord Jesus Christ did, it was real. What the apostles did, it was real. What me and you do by preaching the gospel in the heart, in the life, in the change, in the conviction, in the power of the Spirit, that's real. But all of this hocus pocus, all of this tomfoolery is an empty show. But the Lord Jesus, He healed him instantly, so that he could both speak and see. And all the crowds were astounded and said, "Ah, perhaps this is the Son of David." They saw real power that had been prophesied in the scriptures, and it was no parlor trick. And then when the Pharisees heard this, they said that this man, as he drives out demons, it was proof his miracles are real, but they credited it to only being by the power of Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. They didn't question his miracle. It was not done in a corner. It was not, "I heard about somebody in a remote village who can speak in tongues." No, it was evident. And I always tell people, I have my YouTube, show me who can do what the apostles did. And this is important. And I know that people don't like me talking about it, but here's what the problem is. They use the fake miracles to put their confidence in a fake gospel. And that's why these people who are poor are going to give their money to a prophet instead of paying a doctor and their medicine. And I'm against it. I'm against it. And so are you. I hate fakeness in the name of God, and I hate the exploitation of His people. That's not what we're here for. And the man that builds his church on tithes and offerings, as he's promising you wealth, is just a liar. But this man, our Lord Jesus Christ, he did real miracles, he had real power, and the Pharisees, who were filled with demons, were actually blaming the power on the devil himself. And then it says, verse 25, that knowing their thoughts, our Almighty Master is the Son of God, He told them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is headed for destruction." It's not the power of the devil, though. It was real. "And no city or house divided against itself will stand." It's impossible. "If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I the Lord Jesus says, drive out demons. I kick them out. I cast them out. I change a person. I make him a new creation. I make him to love people. I make him good as to where he used to be evil. I make him drink but not be a drunkard because he has self-control. He quits his fornication and he gets married, or he abstains from sex the rest of his life. If I do that with real power, if I drive it out by Beelzebub, who is it that your sons drive him out by? And for this reason, they will be your judges. If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, here's our message. Then the kingdom of God has come unto you. And so I got three things here: faith and conversions and obedience. These three things will bring us the power of the Holy Spirit, or will show the power of the Holy Spirit is on us. And that's what I want my brothers and my sisters in this day and age, and we need to pray together for it. But the first thing is faith. And here's the thing about faith. It's a renouncing of myself. It is not, I'm at you turn into Isaiah chapter 2, I'm where you listen, but it's not, you know, true faith is not, I've got self-confidence. It isn't me adding something. I come to true faith after I come to realize I'm a filthy sinner and I have no power and I don't have any wisdom at all. That's why he says in Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 22, to cease ye from man, that's the old King James, put no more trust in man. That includes you and that includes me. I can no longer trust in me. I told a story to a friend online that's been struggling with joy and holiness. And those two things are so connected. And I told this story I heard from this evangelist. It was in his book. It was many years ago, but it's an excellent story. But it was a man that was in the sewer. And just in the filth. And he's looking around. And then his friend passes by and he says, "Sir, there's not anything in there." And the man said, "I know that." And then he kept going, you know, through the sewer day after day after day. And his friend would pass by, just shake his head. And then one day, the actual friend passed by, and the man was not in the sewer. And he had on some clean clothes, and he looked at peace. And so the friend said, "Why aren't you in the sewer yet today?" And the man turned around and said, "Are you crazy? There's not anything in that sewer." And the moral of the story is that he knew in his head or in his mouth that there is no good thing that dwells inside of us. No power, no ability, no faithfulness. He that trusts himself is on a bruised reed and a broken staff. You're trusting an empty vessel. You're trusting a sinner, and that's bad. There's no hope. But once you realize that, and you've been burned by trusting yourself, then you lean on that rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, I'm righteous with him. In the sight of God, I'm fully righteous. I'm accepted. And in him, I get the power of the Spirit. And it's only when I realize I can't preach. I don't have the power. I don't have the intellect. I don't have the connection in between my brain and my mouth. I can't get the job done. That's what enables me and you to rely on the Spirit. And that's where the peace is. That's where the joy is. That's where the overcoming is. That's faith. So put no more trust in man, including and especially yourself, who has only breath in his nostrils. He's not God. What is he really worth? And if we look at Christ continually, if we confess our sin continually, if we stand in the sight of God without any righteousness but his shed blood, and then look to him alone for the power to live godly, he will give it. And according unto Romans 8:6, it is a life of peace. I got as much sin as you do in my own way, but I got life and peace. Because I realize there's nothing in the sewer. And I got to grab a hold of him. It's like you're drowning. And you could say, I'm not worthy. I just tried to kill the captain. But he threw you a life vest and he's screaming, take it. I forgive you. Take it. Take his gospel. And you will experience his power. That's how the finger of God is with us. It's the next way that he and you can know that the kingdom of God has actually come to us with power. It's convergence. That people are changed to a brand new life. The person that was a drunk now has self-control. The adulterer is now made faithful unto his wife. Now the person who didn't have joy now has peace to spare. He is comforting others. The person who lived for himself, and that's the evil of man, is now a disciple maker. How do you know as to when the Holy Spirit has come upon a person in power? Well, according unto Matthew 28:20, they live to save other people. They live to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. So Matthew chapter number 28, it says this, after telling us to be baptized, verse number 18, I'll just read down to verse 20. Then Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven on earth by the resurrection. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's your job. Baptizing them in the name, in the singular name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is one God in three distinct persons, but these three are one. Verse 20, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. It's a man here, I'm in Lagos, he's a pastor, that the Lord... He brought us under contact. I was out preaching on the street. He asked me to come to his church. The Holy Ghost spoke to him, and he stepped aside for 5 months, and he let me preach in his church. You know, 3 to 4 times each week. And so now we meet every Saturday that I'm in town. He makes a long trip. It's at least an hour and a half each way. And as I'm listening to his growth, not only is he preaching these things of Christ now, But he's telling me about how he's trying to get these other pastors and how he's at these other meetings and he's able to testify. And he hasn't won anybody yet that's a pastor. How his little church has turned. It's faithful. It's a jewel. But he's trying to bring in others to preach the gospel of sovereign grace. That's a mark. That's an evidence that the finger of God is on him. That's the power of God. And that's what me and you want. We don't just want to see people who hate a false prophet. Because I want to see people who love truth and preach Christ, who are trying to save others. And here is the actual third aspect that I want to bring. If we want this power, how can I get this power? How can I be useful in my day? Obey God and pray. And here's what I'm saying. If you obey God, you will get more assurance. If you open, please, or you listen into the book of 1 John 3, this is a very misunderstood truth, but it's important. I am justified by faith. But if I keep on trusting Christ as my acceptance, 100%, and walk in love as he has commanded me, it will produce more assurance. And so what I mean, I'm going to slice my lip. As to what I mean here is this. I have assurance I'm saved just by trusting Christ. But I get more assurance I'm saved and I have access unto God just by continually trusting Christ and seeing the fruit it produces. So as the scripture says this in the book of 1 John 3, verse number 18 through 20. As I'm recording right now, please. I think that's my house help. I must have left my door cracked. But verse number 18, it says this. So little children, is we must not love with word or speech. It can't be taught. It must be real. It can't be only on the internet. It has to be in the heart and life with power. But with truth and action. And so you see your brother in need and you help him. That's your brother in the gospel. This is how we will know that we belong to the truth and will convince our conscience in his presence. And that is what assists us in prayer. So if I'm serving God in order to be more righteous, he will oppress me. But if I'm serving God because he's made me righteous and my hope is in Christ alone, he will assure me as I walk uprightly, as I love, as I do the things he commanded. This another illustration is in the book of John chapter 4. This is one of my favorite illustrations of this truth of double assurance. Assurance by faith without works. And assurance by faith that does work. And so it's a man here. He is a royal official. Just a moment, please. My apologies, but I still have my subject. This particular man is an official. It's the person upstairs is the one that's with the hammering. But his son is sick. And so the book of John, chapter 4, verse number 46. And then he comes and he pleads with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says in verse number 48, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And so, sir, the official said to him, come down before my boy dies. And then the Lord Jesus, in verse number 50, said, go, your son will live. And the man, he believed what Jesus said to him and departed. That is being made righteous by faith. He didn't have to see anything happen. That's the only way to be righteous with God. That's the only way to overcome your sin. As you are a sinner, you have to put trust in Christ that you are holy for his name's sake, because he said so. And then it says in verse number 51 that as the while he was still going down, his slaves met him saying that his boy, as he was alive. And then he asked them at what time he got better. It was yesterday at 7 in the morning the fever left him. And then the father said in verse number 53, this is what it says. It's the father, he realized that this was the very hour at which Jesus had told him, your son will live. Then he himself believed. But I thought that had he already believed, he believed more. He got more power. He got more assurance. And as we do what God's told us to do, he told him the true gospel, that your son is well. He went home, he obeyed, he took it by faith, and then he saw the joy and the peace and the power over sin and the change of attitude and the self-control and the gentleness. I don't know if this is recording. Is he saw the fruit of the Spirit, and he himself believed, and his whole house. It's another illustration. It's with Abraham. Now, Paul says over and over that Abraham, that he believed God, and it, believing God, was counted to him for righteousness, right? But in Genesis chapter 22, this is when Abraham is offering up his son Isaac. And so he has him bound, he picks up his blade, and he is going to kill his son, his only son. And so the Lord stopped him. Verse 11 says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he replied, here I am. He was obedient. He heard his voice. And then he said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. Now, the Almighty God already knows. But the proof is in the pudding, and he's telling Abraham that he knows. Since you have not withheld your only son from me. And then he looked up, and it was a ram was caught. I'm in the thicket, verse number 14. And then Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. And then look what it said in verse number 15 up to 18. This is assurance. This is extra boldness. This is the extra confidence. This is the extra power. If me and you want to be maximally useful in the gospel of Christ, let's keep on trusting Christ, and the power will come and it will grow as we keep on believing Him and as we pray unto Him and as we say His name in prayer. But verse number 15 says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, this is the Lord's declaration, because you have done this thing, because you've obeyed me, because you've trusted in my word. Prayer is putting the word of God into practice. It's calling upon Him as He told us. And have not withheld your only son. You've given me your life as a living sacrifice. You have resisted sin. You have lived for the salvation of other people. I will indeed bless you. Our trip up north, Sister Behenny and I, we went with Pastor Clark all the way up north into some places that have some danger. It was rewarded. It made us stronger. I'm more ready to go back. I feel more courageous. I feel more fearless. And as we do things by faith, He grows us. So let's keep our eyes on Christ. He said, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky. I will fulfill this promise that I gave you even when you didn't have anything but faith, which I put in your heart by the gospel I preached unto you. And your seed shall be as the sand of the seashore. Your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies. This is the new creation in Christ. It's the church. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring. He's not talking about the Jews. He's talking about both Jew and Gentile, who are the children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ, because you have obeyed my command. What's God saying? You had this right when you believed. But now I'm going to come, and through your acting on your faith, I'm going to come and give you assurance. I'm going to give you boldness. And I'm going to give you power. And as me and you are asking for the finger of God, oh, that we can preach unto this world in this time of anxiety, in this time of open doors. I saw that video of this woman who was in tears almost. She's angry. She is realizing perhaps for the first time in her life that her pastor is wrong. He's a huckster. He's after her money. When they realize they're being promised lies, and I am willing to tear that whole house down in order to build up the true gospel. And we're not just tearing down. That's an easy work to point out what's wrong. But we're also preaching Christ to poor sinners. But we need power. How are we going to get this power to prove that the kingdom of God has actually come? Faith. I'm not going to trust in my words, in my style, in my cleverness, in my strength, in my study habits, in my righteousness. I'm going to trust in the word of God, in the power of Christ, and in the blood He shed. By conversions are going to prove that His power is here with us. And then as we pray and as we obey, He's going to give us increased power so that we can go out into this world after they lift this big quarantine on us. It's not going to last forever. The world is not going to be destroyed by a plague. It's going to be destroyed when he comes in flaming fire. But in his mercy, as to when hearts are so rattled, as to when your friends who would never pay attention to anything you said are now tuning in. I got friends now that are actually watching on the videos, who are home, who can't work, who are on lockdown, and who are listening because they're, I'm hoping it's the finger of God. But there is a world out there that needs to hear the gospel after we get back into our jobs and after we're able to go see our relatives. There's an open door, but it has to come with power or it'll all mean nothing. And in the end, it's the people are going to be warned, just like in Sodom, but unsaved. Our brother Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I can see him pleading with people to get in the ark, but they would not come. But when the power of God is with us, he will compel them to come in. And that's what me and you want, is to be useful. And so the kingdom and the power of God has come upon you if you trust Christ. If it bears the fruit of trust in Christ. And as it bears fruit, it gives us more power, more growth, more strength. I'll tell you this story, and it's an application. I ran home scared because of a bully one day. I was in the sixth grade, and the kid was a little bit older. And my mom, she happened to be home that day. And she made me go back outside and fight. I didn't have to run anymore after that. It was a guy, and I'm not, you know, trying to tell you to fight, but this is how confidence works. I was in a fight a couple years later. I'm scared. But my friend said, hey, you gotta go. And I won that fight. And over time, you just get stronger, you get bolder, and you get more confident. And as you obey God by the gospel, as you keep your eyes upon him, you know, you and I, we're going to know he's true. Is he faithful? Is he does forgive? Is he is good? Is he will help me? Is he is with me? I am with him. So that is the blessing that I want you to have. Assurance, boldness, and power. May the Lord be with you for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And if I can be of any help, you hit me up. Amen. Let's close in prayer here. You brethren that are listening on the audio, I'm really hopeful that these messages are helpful, that in spite of the weakness of my own flesh, that the Lord would be with you with power and would really grow your understanding and would really give you grace and peace so that you can go out into this world with the gospel, with boldness, with assurance, and with confidence in God. And so our Father, please help us. Please carry not only this message, but all of our messages, all those messages that are in the power of your Spirit, because your whole church is in need of power. Please help us, Lord, and to be loving, to be forgiving, and to be merciful, and to be kind, and to not be sinful towards other people, and to be gentle, and to preach in the power of the Spirit, not in our flesh, and an emotion and excitement of the flesh, but in the power of your Spirit, enable us to testify of Christ. Bless our heart with faith. Bless us with obedience. Bless us with true conversions and assurance. Help us, Father. Help your church right now. Spread your gospel and be merciful unto poor sinners. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, Father, as we ask you in the name of your Son and by the merit of his shed blood, we ask you to do it in the power of your Spirit, as you've already promised, Father. Help us to believe. Help us to pray and to look unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, our Lord. Amen.